Let's read from the book of James, chapter 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All right, now, we're told that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That's the first thing we need to remember. Appreciate those little ones coming up. We're glad to have you here. I noticed Brother Bullard out there tonight, him and his family. We're glad to have him back in church. You cannot be double-minded. Folks, always remember that. You cannot be double-minded. You've got to take one course in life, and that's got to be it. If you will take one course in life, then you'll make it. And if you don't, then you won't make it. You've got to get on one side or another. Now, here in the book of James, he points out something to us. The second chapter, the 14th verse, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and any one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, here he is speaking of faith as to having works with your faith. We need to have works with our faith because it's by faith that we have salvation. Notice this now. It says that if so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. You know, you've got to have faith in God. And if you're going to have faith in God, you're going to have some works with your believing. There's no need of me telling you that I believe in salvation if I do not practice salvation as to a lifestyle. And there's no need to tell you that I believe that God will heal the sick if I don't practice praying for the sick. There's no need of me telling you that I believe God will save the world if I don't make some effort to go into all the world to preach this gospel to them so they can be saved. For how can they be saved without faith? And how can they have faith without the word? And how can they hear the word without a preacher? And how can he preach lest he be sent? So then, it all in a continuity as to one thing following another. The writer uses the terms that when works is mixed with faith, then faith is made perfect. Have you ever thought about having perfect faith? It takes works with faith to have perfect faith. Paul said, we're set here for the perfecting of your faith. That's why the ministry is here, is for the perfecting of your faith. Well, that is to tell you what God wants you to do and what it takes to please God. And in that you do this, then the writer said, seeing then how that faith wrought with works is then made perfect. So then, you don't have perfect faith unless you have works with your faith. But when you put works with your faith, then you have perfect faith in the sight of God. So then we're thinking tonight about faith. To have faith in God, or to have our faith perfected in God, is to mix works with our faith. If you profess Christianity, then the Bible said, let him that nameth the name of the Lord depart from evil. And if you're going to bear the vessel of the Lord, then let him be clean that's going to bear my vessels, the Lord said. In the Old Testament, the singers had to be pure and clean. They couldn't sing for God unless they were pure. And the ministry could not minister for God unless they were pure. And we're told today that we're to be holy in body and in spirit, denying worldly lust and ungodliness, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. So then we are to be holy people, holy in body, holy in spirit. And Paul said, I desire to present you to God blameless, body, soul, and spirit. So then we find that faith, real faith, must have works with it. Now, let me differentiate here, as I have so many times. Is there a faith that does not need works? If there is, I've never heard of one. I've never heard of a faith that doesn't need works. There is a faith that does not need your works, and there's a faith that does not need my works. Which faith is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it requires the works of God as to the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, that kind of faith, the Bible tells us to contend for, this kind of faith is imputed unto you as righteousness. But it is God's faith, and it is faith that hath his works, and this kind of faith doesn't need your works. So then my justification by faith is of Christ's faith that needs no works. When they said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, this is the works of God, even that was finished from the foundation of the world. This is the works of God, that you should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or him that the Father has sent to do the works as pertaining to his faith. But when it comes to your faith, it requires works. If you're ever going to be noticed by God as to having any confidence in the works of Jesus Christ, in the faith of Jesus Christ, then you're going to have to get up and make an effort. You're going to have to get up and make an effort. It's going to take something on your part that you might get up and make an effort if you ever expect to be blessed of God. You cannot just sit down and do nothing and say God loves us and God so loved the people that he saved them by sending his son. I know preachers around the world, they preach that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that is true. Whosoever believeth in him. But I say again, that to believe in him means that you will do the things that please him and do something to please him. You have to do something to please him in what you are doing. If you want God to bless you, you're going to have to do something to please God. Get up and go with God and do something to please God. You cannot just sit back and say that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he's going to save us in spite of ourselves, or that God's going to save us whether we pray, whether we fast, whether we call on God, whether we serve God, whether we do anything. God so loves us that he gave the Son of God that he might save us. And this is the way a lot of preachers preach, you know. They preach that you are saved, you don't have to do anything at all. God just loved you so much he gave his son to save you. And because of that, you just go away with that confidence and everything's going to be all right. But I'll tell you, in the name of the Lord, it's not going to be all right. Whoever told you that is a liar. It isn't going to be all right. And he wasn't son of God. The Bible said when God sends somebody, you will know because he will speak God's word. And God said if these men had been son of me, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. If they had stood in my counsel, they would have caused the people to turn from their sins. I want to try to do the thing that pleases God. Whatever it takes to please God, that's what I want to do. I want to pray, I want to fast, I want to testify, I want to preach, I want to give to the poor, I want to give to the needy. The Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions and then keep yourselves unspotted from the world. I want to stay out of the world. I want to be without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. The Bible said that God's coming back after a church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And I want to be like that. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you confuse me because you tell me that I'm saved by the grace of God by faith. It doesn't require any works on my part.
And then you tell me that I've got to work and do these things that I might find favor with God. No, that isn't what I told you at all. I told you that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I told you that if you believe in him, that faith is proved by your deeds, your actions, your concern, your effort toward his pleasure and his way. This is the only proof that you have that you do believe in him, and the only way you can be saved is to believe in him. All right, so then we see that I am not trying to work my way unto salvation. I'm not trying to do something so that I can be saved. I am doing something because I have been saved. I am baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because he saved me at Calvary. And because he saved me, then I've been buried with him in baptism because he saved me. I am baptized for the dead because when he died, that was me dying at Calvary. I've received the Holy Ghost because he said, if you be baptized in my name, then shall you receive the Holy Ghost. Now, I did not do anything to get it. I am doing the fasting and the praying and seeking God and studying to show myself approved. I am doing this for one reason, and that is because my nature on the inside compels me to do that. My nature compels me to do those things. I have nothing to do with it. It's something on the inside that spontaneously moves me and motivates me toward doing that. Just like the nature of an apple tree, I say so often, it doesn't have to do anything. It's just the fact that it's an apple tree that it will bring forth an apple harvest. And because of that, the life that's in that tree will come forth. And if there is no apple nature in that tree, then you look but in vain for apples, because there won't be any apples on that tree. Though there might be a tree planted here that looks exactly like the tree that's planted here. One of them may have an apple nature, one may not have an apple nature. Or one may have a sweet apple nature, one may have a crab apple nature. But whatever their nature is, that's the way the harvest is going to be. See, if it is a matter of you as to being a nature, as to a briar, then that's what you're going to bring forth as a harvest. If it be that you are a nature as to wheat, then you're going to bring forth the wheat. Whatever your nature is, that's what you're going to bring forth. There's no way to get around that. Whatever you are. But remember this one thing, that is, the rain comes down upon the just and the unjust, and the sunshine comes down, as we say, upon the just and the unjust. Whatever it might be, naturally speaking, spiritually speaking, that's still going to bring forth according to the nature. It's not going to bring forth according to the rain. It isn't going to bring forth according to the sunshine. It's going to bring forth according to the nature. Though it's sunshine on the briar and the wheat, though it's rain on the briar and the wheat, yet though those things are the same as to the nourishment, yet the harvest of those will be different because it is a different nature. And that's exactly the way it is in this religious world of today. You can preach all you want to preach. You can sing all you want to sing. You can have religious services all you want to have religious service. But according to the predestination of God, according to the nature of that individual, they're going to yield a harvest. You can tell them about God. You can be as religious as you want to. You can indoctrinate them as much as you want to. But you're going to find out that one thing will take place, and that is, after the sow has been washed, she'll go back to her wallowing in the mire. And after the dog has been washed up, taken away from his vomit, he'll go back and he will lick his vomit. Because he is a dog and she is a sow. So then that means a swine has a swine nature, and it doesn't matter whether religiously a swine or religiously a dog, they're still a dog and they are a swine. So that means Jesus, as he said, those that are without are dogs and swine. And you can have all the religion you want to, but They'll just set them up a college and they'll send their preachers off to college somewhere. They'll process them through some seminary and they'll indoctrinate them until they're thoroughly dead with no spirit whatsoever and bring them out as carnal as they can be at enmity with God. And they'll set up a big order and they'll collect money and they'll build a church and they'll set up a society and then they'll get involved with the things of the world and they'll get their congregation involved with the things of the world and they'll try to bring prestige to the church, some kind of society as to make a dignitary or give them some big name or put them out in the world with the things of the world. See, because they have a mind of the world, they have a desire of the world, they have a love of the world. Their whole drive, their whole motivation is to set up something that will sparkle to the world or that the world will love. See, but we are not of those people. All right, so then we realize that when we follow God and we do the things that God told us to do, then we project a nature. A nature. If I hear the word of God and then my nature brings forth holiness, then am I wheat, as we say. I am of a good harvest. But if I hear the word of God and I still bring forth worldliness, then am I unholy. The Bible said to be holy in body and in spirit. And whatever my nature is, that's what's going to come forth. So then I have this nature in the Lord. My nature is to do according to godliness. If I am born again, I am partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're born again, then you are partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not born again, then you are not partakers, and you've never seen the kingdom. If you're sinning, you've never known God. You've never seen God. You don't have faith in God. All you're having is strong delusions, and you are altogether wrong, and you will die and go into the lake of fire. So then, according to your nature, when I preach this word, it will bring forth twins. One will be a make-believer. Another will be a believer. And when this grace of God that is upon us today, as it continues, this grace of God will bring forth either a briar or a wheat. And it is grace so that the nature can take the course it wants to take as to its sovereignty, and it will be rewarded accordingly. If then it is a briar, it will be cut down at the proper time, and its reward will be a fire. Fire will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. If it be wheat, then it shall be cut down at the proper time, and it shall be gathered into the garners. And bringing it into the garners, then it will be meat for the master's use. So then we find that this is the way that God does it. If you really have faith in the word of God, then what will you do? You will do what the Bible tells you to do, to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions, and then keep yourselves unspotted from the world. If you do not have faith in God, what will you do? You will join some church. You'll be a religious reprobate. You'll get into the trend of society and do the things that they do as to the churchianity, as we say, in the world. And you will be a reprobate and you will be cut down and you will go into the fire. If you do not do that the Father tells you to do. If you be wheat, you are gathered into the garners. If you be tares, you are thrown into the fire. All right. I am telling you that if I have faith in God, I will do what God tells me to do. I will do the thing that makes me holy and godly and pure and upright. If I do not have faith in God, I will just go on with churchism and I will be a reprobate and be turned into the fire. At the end of the way, there's coming a harvest. There's going to be a harvest both of the good and of the bad. And according to your nature, so will your harvest be. According to your nature, so will your reward be. According to your nature, God will reward you as to an eternal damnation or an eternal reward. The Bible said, and these shall be receive eternal damnation. You'll be cut off from God all because you don't have faith. See, I serve God out of faith, not because I'm trying to work my way unto God. I am only putting works with my faith, that my faith may have confidence in the finished work of God. For his works is unto salvation. Did you know it doesn't matter what you do as to your works? You cannot obtain salvation. You can fast all you want to fast. You can pray all you want to pray. You can give all you want to give. You can do whatever you want to, coming to church regular, but you'll still die and go to hell unless you're born again. Because your works is nothing but his filthy rags in the sight of God. Your works cannot obtain salvation. You cannot work your way unto salvation. The Jews failed in trying to do this. They tried to work their way unto salvation. And in doing that, they became a reproach and they became repulsive in the sight of God until God said, "Depart from me, ye that are more holier than thou." And he said, "Away with your solemn assemblies and feasts. I'm sick of them," he said. Because we cannot with human ego and human ambition obtain unto salvation. There's no way that you can do that. Salvation is wrought by the mighty hand of God through Christ Jesus, and all is already prepared. My tables already are served, they are filled. My fatling has already been slain. Everything is ready. Come and dine, as the songwriter says. So the only thing I'm doing is trying to get my mind straightened out in preaching to you. I'm trying to get your mind straightened out to where you can get away from this wilderness of misunderstanding, get away from this science falsely so-called as to knowledge, and get in line with God and begin to submit to God and conform to God and leave the world off. And get out of that wilderness of lasciviousness and get out of that wilderness of lust and covetousness. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you to turn around. I preach to you to try to get you to turn around so that I can say, leave that stuff behind and go over here and feed from the table of God. Because the Bible said you cannot feed from the table of God and feed from the table of devils. He said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. Or that is, I've spewed you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. You're not in Christ. You're not born again. You're lukewarm. So then the whole world is in the Laodicean age of lukewarmness, are people's rights. That is, they're doing their own thing. We have a war over there in the east because of Hussein trying to do his own thing, thinking too highly of himself, exalting himself, self-esteem. And because of that, he hath literally wrecked a nation. He has caused death and sorrow and heartaches because of his evil, corrupted mind. The Bible said, from whence cometh wars? Is it not from the thoughts that come out of your heart? Or the lust that comes out of your members? In that you're lusting for something? Isn't that the way it is? See, the man is a madman. I heard that even the one that's over his airline there, as to the one that runs the airline, that he had a wife. Hussein saw her, decided he wanted her, said, "I'm going to have her." And the man, so afraid of Hussein, just stepped out of the way and said, "Take her." Afraid that it would cost him his life. See, and a man like that is corrupt. A man like that is a madman. And someday, somewhere, God will cut him down just like a stump. God will let someone come along and just cut him right down because he is a madman. But when we think of that, we think of how horrible that is. But did you know that you're just as bad? You're just as bad. You've not known the depths of Satan. Perhaps you've not gone the route that he's gone, but you're just as bad. When you evil surmise, when you have jealousy, when you have covetousness, when you have the lust of the flesh as to eat and to drink and to buy and sell and to visit and to revel in your mind, you're just as corrupt as he is. You're just as lost as he is. That's the thing that we've got to remember. If you've never been born again, you're just as lost as Hussein is. This religious America, this religious world that we're in, it's one of the worst things that's ever happened to mankind. They've become twofold more the child of hell by becoming religious. So then that means that you are in just as bad a shape or worse shape in some way than he is. I heard a man just yesterday, I believe it was, he was so upset, he was a businessman. He said that it has been said that they should take Hussein, hang him up, dip him in oil, set him on fire, whatever. And he said he personally would love to go over there, maybe and blow his brains out, I believe he said. And I looked at him and I could tell, one look at him, and I could tell he needed to be born again, that he was just as much in the muck as Hussein, and that when Hussein spends his time in hell, he'll be down there to keep him company, and they'll be gnashing on one another. Every person that is not living right will go into the lake of fire. The Bible said, all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. To beware you that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. So then, as I said about the soldiers the other day, I think of the American soldiers, but I also think of the Iraq soldiers, because God has created all men kind of alike and made their hearts alike, that they should seek after God. And we should have been telling them more about Jesus before this war. If we told the nations more about God, we wouldn't have the heathenistic people that we have around the world trying to slit each other's throat. And so then I think of them, and I think of the deaths of those. As to the American soldiers, when they die, I remind you again, if they're not right with God, they die and go to hell. They don't go to heaven just because they are American soldiers, just because we esteem them in that they're our people and we belittle the others in our mind because they are not Americans. That doesn't mean anything. On either side, if they're not right with God, they go to hell. And on either side, if they are right with God, then they go to heaven. Because a man is saved by faith in God, and that faith is displayed by the daily activities of his life as to what he practices. If he practices godliness, then is he godly. If he does not practice godly, then he is not godly. There's no such thing as saying, I believe in godliness and not practice godliness. There's no such thing as saying, I am a Christian and not be Christ-like. Christ was about his Father's business. They were first called Christians at Antioch because they did that that was Christ-like. They did works that was Christ-like. They did deeds that was Christ-like. The things that they practiced was Christ-like. See, and that's the way it is. If we're going to be a Bethlehemite, a true Bethlehemite, if the Bethlehemites are Christians, then we're going to act Christ-like. So when you act like a Bethlehemite, you will act Christ-like. If we do not act Christ-like, then we're not a true Bethlehemite, in that Bethlehem was set up for Christianity and set up so that you could learn to conform to the ways of God. All right, so then we realize then that we are Christian people. We are Christ-like. We are the body of the Lord Jesus. We believe. If I believe, then I have the Christian nature. I do not have to try to do anything to bring forth Christianity or to have the characteristics of Christianity in my life. They will automatically be in my life. They will automatically come forth, and this interlife will automatically be made manifest in my mortal genes if I am born again and have the Spirit of God on the inside of me. If I do not have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of me, then I am none of His. But if I have the Spirit of Christ, then am I belong to God, and then am I a Christian. And then will I do the things that are like Christ to be about my Father's business. All right, so then we see that God is working with us, and God is trying to help us. He is trying to have the minister to teach you faith. You are saved then by faith, not by your works. Doesn't matter what you do in the way of works, you cannot be saved. There is no such thing as human efforts bringing forth salvation. The Bible said that God has wrought salvation by his own hand. God has brought this thing to pass by his own hand. He has already served and furbished his tables. And he's said, let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely, or come to the supper, because my supper is now ready. My fatlings are now slain. All right, so then we see it's all by grace, all given to us by his sacrifice. By God's long suffering, do we have this blessing? But I do have to get up and go to the table. If mother prepares the table, if mother labors and fixes the meal, if mother sets everything out and sets me a chair and sets me a plate, then I've got to have enough stamina in life to get up and go to the table and find my place according to mother's order and sit down, and then she will serve me and I can have the food without it costing me anything. All right, so then you do nothing to get the food. The food is already there. It's just your nature that when you can get the food when you are hungry that you eat. You don't have to make yourself eat. If you are hungry, you will eat because it is your nature. And if you are hungry and if you belong to that family, then you are accustomed by nature to go to that table to get what you want. And so it is with God. I don't do anything to deserve the things of God. I don't do anything at all because I do not merit anything at all. Everything that I have, everything that I've got, everything that God will ever give me is merited by Jesus himself. And so then I am speaking of faith, my faith, which must have some effort. If I have faith in mother's table, if I have faith in mother's food, if I have faith and confidence in her word as to what she has told me, then I will put some legs on it. As we say, I will get up and I will make an effort to get to that table because I do not believe mother will refuse me in that I'm hungry and in that I want something to eat. She will not refuse me. But if I should say, well, you know, I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to sit out here somewhere. You just bring the food to me. I'm not too sure mother would. Now, it just depends on how she feels. She might just feel like I'm just so lazy that I need to get up from my lazy way of life and come in there in that, as it used to be said, that she slaved over the stove. Women don't know what it is to work anymore. You know, they just kind of piddle. Men don't know anything about work either. They just piddle and expect a big paycheck. But years ago, men and women did work, and you still find a few here and there. But anyway, when mother worked and when mother got through and when I was a boy and she cooked, she expected you to come to the table. And she didn't serve it to you in the yard. You come to the table or you didn't get anything. When I was in service and they served the meals, I had to go to the table. They didn't serve it. They didn't bring it out. They didn't send it out by officers and say, just relax. I had to get up and I had to get in line and I had to do whatever I had to do to be able to get to that table. And when I got there, then they would serve me. But otherwise, I didn't get anything. And that's the way it is, folks. We're not trying to work our way unto salvation. We're just trying to get up from off our laziness, as we say. Get up. As Brother Robert said one time, some people is just too lazy to believe. And we're trying to get up off of our laziness, as we would use the terms here, to where we can get to what we want and do what we're trying to do as to prove this faith in God. Faith without works is dead. It takes believing in God as to an effort if you're going to perfect your faith. So then the writer said, you see how that faith having works with it was made perfect. So then, as it was said concerning the harlot, Rahab the harlot, that when she put works with her faith, as to give the spies a place to stay and safety from the alien powers, then her works wrought with her faith, it made her faith perfect. When we see Noah, as to Noah building the ark, when he done what God told him to do by putting his best forward, then he built the ark, and by works, faith was made perfect. And when Abraham took his son and offered Isaac upon the altar, putting his efforts behind what God had told him to do, proved that he believed God. God had said, I will multiply thee. Multiplying thee, I will multiply thee. Blessing, I will bless thee. And he said, through Isaac, all nations shall be blessed. So then, doing the thing that pleased God, he was called the friend of God. Whatever it is that God has said unto you, then you must do that. As it was said down at the marriage supper, whatever he tells you, that's what to do. So then he is telling us through the ministry what he expects of us. He is telling us through the ministry what we must do if we're going to have faith in God and if we're going to have salvation. So I tell you again tonight, all of these religious bodies around the world, whether they're in Monroe or around the world, It doesn't make any difference. If they don't have works with their faith unto holiness, then they don't have salvation and they are liars. And anybody that follows them in that kind of teaching will have a reprobate mind, and because they love not the truth, God will send them strong delusions and let them be damned. So then, as the Bible has stated, that God has declared that we, by his holy prophets, that we should serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. That we should serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life, that denying worldly lust and ungodliness, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. As I said this morning, that we should mortify the deeds of the flesh, that we should put the flesh down, that we should hate our own lives, turn away from our own lives, cast down imagination until every thought is brought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, and that we should constantly mortify the deeds of the body, putting the flesh down in every way, keeping the flesh out of the spotlight as to the world and those things in the world, keeping the flesh away from being a dignitary and all these kind of things, and go after holiness and go after self-denial and go after righteousness and go after godliness, not after convenience, not after social benefits, not after securities, not after eating and drinking, not after those things that lifts and up and magnifies the human being part of us, but rather putting that down and lifting up the spirit. For the Bible said, if we walk in the spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And if we be in the spirit, then let us walk in the spirit. So then, what we should do is deny self. If you don't have any works with your faith, then that means that your faith is imperfect. You do not have perfect faith, and you're still as a little child. So then you need to be up and be about your father's business. Many things that we could say tonight concerning this, because we could go on and on. I'm just exhorting you a little bit concerning faith, that you might understand what true faith is. Though we are saved by God, and though we are altogether given this wonderful salvation by his works, yet it is a fact that you've got to get up and be partakers of it through your efforts. Now, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, if I am born again, if I cannot sin, if I pass from death unto life, if God has saved me by his grace and by the faith of Jesus Christ, if he has, then what makes you think that I'm going to believe that I've got to get up and do such and such, and if I don't, then I won't be saved? I don't expect you to believe that, because you would be ignorant if that was true. You know that you've done that and that I told you that kind of thing. But this is where you're ignorant, really ignorant to the things of God. To begin with, I said, if you were saved and if you'd been born again and if you had all of these things having been passed from death unto life. But brother, sister, when you have no effort from God, that is a positive proof that you have not been born again, that you've not passed from death unto life, that you do not have the blessings of God. Because if you had the nature of Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, it would spontaneously move you to be about the Father's business. So the mere fact that you make no effort toward holiness and no effort toward God, you are like the tree. Either you've got a crabapple nature, or either you don't have a nature as to apples at all. Because if you had the nature of the apple, you would be putting forth. And if you put forth as the crabapple, then that means that's a bitter life, a bitter cup. The Bible said, beware lest there spring up within you a bitterness, a root of bitterness, thereby many be defiled. See, if you've got that apple nature, that sweet, luscious apple nature, that fruit nature to bring forth fruits unto God, you'll be about your Father's business and you'll bring forth the harvest. Nobody won't have to make you do that. See, you will do it because you will work around your tree and you will do everything you can to dress your tree, and you'll bring forth some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And you that don't bring forth any fruit at all, you don't have the nature of God. You've never been born again. You've just had strong delusions, and that's all. You just think that you are right with God. But down inside, you have the love of the world. And the Bible said if you have the love of the world, the love of the Father is not there. You're always after the things of the world, following the things of the world, following the people of the world, always gossiping, backbiting, always interested in the things of the world, and you don't have the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's give him a hand, can you? Let's sing Amazing Grace, Brother Taylor. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved, thou wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. Can you sing that with me? Was grace that taught my heart to fear? It was grace my fears relieved. For how precious did that grace appear! It was the hour that I first believed. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. I'll wear a crown. Wear a crown. Wear the bright then shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Can you say amen? Amen? I claim Jesus first of all, and he will answer me when I call. For I know that I'm the son he set free. I am God's own child by birth, highest honor on earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. I claim Jesus first of all, and he will answer me when I call. For I know that I'm a son that he set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first. Can you sing that with me? We claim Jesus first of all. God's gonna answer us when we call. For I know that I'm the child he set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that. Sing it one more time with me. So we claim Jesus first of all. God's gonna answer us when I call. For I know that I'm a child, the Son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. For I claim Jesus first of all, God's gonna answer me when I call. For I know that I'm the child He set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus. I'm just a little bit short-winded tonight. But you can sing anyway.
Tell me His name once again. Oh, sing me that sweet refrain of Him who in love came down from above to die on the cross, sin, shame.
Sing that with me.
The story my heart it has stirred. It's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, brings me hope and cheer. Tell me His name again.
Can you sing it with me?
So tell me His name once again. Sing me that sweet refrain of Him who in love came down from above to die on the cross, sin, shame. The story my heart has stirred. It's the sweetest that I ever heard. It banishes fear, brings me hope and cheer. Tell me His name.
Can you sing that one more time with me?
So tell me His name once again. Sing me that sweet refrain of Him who in love came down from above to die on the cross, sin, shame. The story my heart it has. It's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, brings me hope and cheer. Tell me His name again. I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout. For I'm longing for Jesus to come back. Long for Jesus Christ. who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where she
give me a key, Frank. Gone, the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb, it's empty, gone. Can you sing it with me? Gone and he lives forevermore. Sing it again. Far it's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb it's empty, gone, to sit at my father's side. For he's gone. Oh, the death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. Sing it like this. Far it's gone, I saw the stone, it's rolled back, gone, I saw the tomb, gone. To sit at. You know, some of you have seen the stone roll back, and some of you have seen the tomb. And you know that the stone is rolled back, and you know that the tomb is empty. And if the Bible is right in those things, then it must be right when it says he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. So it's gone. That stone is rolled back, gone. That tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. Fixing to go over there again if the Lord doesn't stop us for the eighth time. And this has to do with something for Israel. And I'm desirous to go. Gone and he lives forevermore. All right, and time shall be no more. Brother Taylor said just start singing, he'd pick it up, but maybe he didn't. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Can you sing that with me now? For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Remember now, we spoke of the first of the week. It's getting closer and closer as to the closing of the days of the Gentile. I tried to bring out today that the angel standing on the land and sea, he lifted his hand to heaven there at the middle of the week, declared that time would be no more. And we said that God had determined 490 years to bring the end of the world. And this morning we pointed out to you that he had to separate 7 years from the 83 to give the Gentiles a dispensational grace as to what we refer to as the church ages. And during that period of time, it was a heavenly episode
And God did not count time. He only counted 483 years to Calvary. And then it was no more time because it was in a heavenly episode. And then at the closing of that, it is the closing of the door to the Gentile church. And with that, in that the 7 years will come back to the 483. It will be as though they just have crucified Jesus. And it'll be as to the blood fresh in his hands when they see the nail prints, because it will bring it back together to the same place where they were blinded. The Jews being blinded in part, they were blinded when this great light came from heaven as to salvation by grace and as to this Christ that was unveiled. It blinded them because the veil could not be taken off of their face. If it had been, then you would not have had salvation today. So the light blinded them and they went out of the presence of God, because they were within the veil. And the Bible said, which veil remaineth over the face of the people even until this day, as it was in Paul's day, I can still say the same today, which veil is done away with in Christ Jesus. So then when the bright light of salvation came, it blinded them. And they were blinded in part, and the part that blinded them was this great wonderful light that came forth. And they remained as that was back under the law, as to say the veil that was over Moses' face, as to not being able to see steadfastly under the end of that which hath been abolished. But you're the light of the world, this is the unveil, and it won't be long, the veil will be coming off of the Jews' face, and they'll see beyond Calvary. They'll go all the way back to Calvary at the first of the week to be sealed. As to the 7 years coming to the 483, they'll find themselves right there with a fresh Calvary. And there won't be any time that has been counted as against them, because where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. And God did not count any time as to their time. And when this last 7 years comes about, it will bring the end of the world. As a matter of fact, in the middle of this last 7 years, it is that the angel sits 1 foot on the land and 1 foot on the sea and lifts up his hand to heaven, swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more, bringing it again back to a Calvary as to where the fullness of time came, or as Peter said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. So then the end of the world, he declared the end of the world, said, and in the middle of the week, the sounding of the last trumpet, the mysteries will be finished. And in 11:15, in the middle of the week, he sounded, the Bible said he sounded, or it shall come to pass, he sounded, and the mystery of God was finished for the next 3.5 years, was comprehended within that sounding of the trumpet, which brought the end of the world and the finishing of those kind of things. All right. A lot we could say about that tonight, but we're going to have to close out. Could we sing one more chorus anyway? Well, I looked over the Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home. It was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming to carry me home, tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Now I'd like to say I thank you for the offering tonight. Was it going to bother you with anything like that?
Lord, we thank you for the offering. Thank you for your concern. Those that help to expedite the gospel that tries to be a part in what we do. I'd like for everybody to come down the altar tonight if they don't mind. And have a little more music here and like to pray for you just before we close out, in this much as we won't be with you for a day or two probably. I'd like to leave my blessings upon you. You are my spiritual children in the Lord. And I love you, and I know you love me. And many of you prove your love for me by what you do. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And many of you try to do the things that I ask you to do. And in so doing, you prove your love for me. And of course, this is what the Lord is looking for, in that you've done it unto the least, and I'm less than nothing. You've done it unto Christ himself. Being your shepherd, I watch for your soul, and I pray for you day and night. And I try to understand God's way and will, that I might be able to help you find salvation and find eternal life. Folks, there's nothing like eternal life. Nothing. You want to be sure that you have eternal life. There's nothing like eternal life. So then, if you would like to live forever, you can. If we don't accept Christ, if we don't come to God, then we cannot have eternal life. But if we come to the Lord, then we can have eternal life, because it's freely given to everyone. God is no respecter of person. He will give you eternal life. Let's lift our hands up together. I'm going to pray with you. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful, lovely name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the mighty Spirit of Christ, even the Holy Ghost himself, we request that you bless our people. Watch over our people while we are gone. Father, don't let them be deceived, and don't let them be misled, and don't let anything happen to them. Keep them safe. Keep their loved ones safe, Heavenly Father. Help them to watch and to pray. And dear God, leave your blessings upon them. You said in your word, Lord, you said, whosoever I would bless would be blessed. You promised me that in your word. Tonight I bless my people in Jesus' name tonight. I bless them, O God, in Jesus' name tonight. I bless them, Father, that they might have the desires of their heart, that they might love you, delight themselves in you, walk with you, to have healing and salvation and blessing. Oh God, and even as in the vision when we had them upon the mantle, oh God, Lord, I feel that they are upon the mantle tonight, Lord. I believe tonight, Heavenly Father, that they are ready whenever you call them. I leave my blessings with them, Lord, and your blessing, Lord, I give to them tonight in the name of your darling Son, the wonderful Holy Ghost, even Jesus Christ himself. Bless them, Lord, be with them, help them, and Lord, take care of us as we go on our journey. Bless us and lead us, dear wonderful God, that we might be profitable unto thee. Take care of us, make us a testimony, and let us do whatever would be thy pleasure, dear wonderful God. Watch over all of these, Lord, as we leave them in your hand, at the wonderful name of Jesus. Let's just lift our hands, close our eyes, and let's sing this chorus together. And I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has washed away. One more time together, can we?